The court has been deemed an essential public service. So today the Supreme Court opens its doors for the 2013-2014 term. Looks like it'll be eventful. A lot of issues involved. Campaign contributions, abortion rights, affirmative action. Dahlia Lithwick writes about law and the courts for Slate. Dahlia, it's good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So you were looking at these court cases, but you were writing about what might be a change in the legacy of Sandra Day O'Connor. Why were you saying that Sandra Day O'Connor's legacy might be changed with these court cases this term?
Well, because if you kind of think way back to when she was that essential fifth swing vote on a polarized 4-4 court before she left, it wasn't just that she was the fifth vote in a lot of really, really critical areas like affirmative action and, you know, the wall between church and state, abortion, and campaign finance reform. But she was more than that. In many of those cases, she was also kind of the chief architect of what became the law. In other words, because she was the fifth vote, she got to build the test in a lot of these cases. And for a long time, we used to talk about, you know, it's almost the O'Connor Court. You could call it the Rehnquist Court, but she held the reins so firmly in a lot of these big, big ticket areas that everybody said, you know, she built the law. And each of those issues, every single one of the four doctrines that I've just mentioned to you, affirmative action, abortion, campaign finance reform, and the wall between church and state, are being looked at again this term. And so I think that one of the things we're going to see happening is with the replacement of O'Connor by a much more conservative Sam Alito, we're going to see the last of those tests, of those doctrines, of those ways of looking at the world that were uniquely O'Connor. I think we're going to see them crumble.
Well, so now we supposedly have Anthony Kennedy as the one who is the swing. Is he also the one who crafts those tests in the same way O'Connor did?
That's a great question, and the short answer is yes. But he's quite different from O'Connor because O'Connor was kind of a problem solver. She just kind of ran into every constitutional situation thinking, I can fix it, like Bob the Builder. And Kennedy's really different. Kennedy is much more apt to make tests that are placeholders. He'll say, I don't really love affirmative action, but I'm not going to decide in this case. Not really happy with these abortion laws, but I'm going to leave it to another day. So he doesn't rush in to fix everything. And as a consequence, I think there's a lot less clarity in the law when he's the swing vote than when she was the swing vote.
By the way, Dahlia Lithwick of Slate, thank you for giving me the image of Bob the Builder at the Supreme Court. I like that a lot. So in terms of let's talk about abortion first. What are they going to be facing that will be something critical?
Well, there's two potential abortion cases. One of them the court is definitely going to hear, and that's just about protected speech outside abortion clinics. This is a Massachusetts law that kind of creates a bubble around abortion clinics in which protesters or people who want to evangelize or dissuade women seeking abortions cannot enter into. And this is a free speech challenge to those laws. The court is going to hear that. There's another big, big abortion case that the court's probably going to hear that comes out of the state of Oklahoma. And this is a restriction in Oklahoma on RU 486, the abortion pill. The Oklahoma legislature said that doctors could only prescribe the pill according to the FDA directions on the label. That label is from the year 2000, so doctors have come up with all sorts of refinements of their prescriptions. It turns out the label prescription has actually too much medicine. The gestation period is too short. There's all sorts of reasons that doctors want to stray from the label, but the Oklahoma legislature won't allow them to do it. So this is a test of that law. So those two abortion cases will probably come before the court. This is going to be an opportunity for Kennedy to make a big, big, big splash if he decides he wants to roll back Roe v. Wade.
One other big issue, campaign finance reform, McCutcheon versus Federal Election Commission. You write, you quote some experts as saying this could be the beginning of the end of any limits on campaign contributions given directly to candidates in elections.
Yeah, this is a monster case, and actually the court will be hearing it tomorrow. And this is the case that really might kick out the last bits of McCain-Feingold, the campaign finance regulation. This is a test of, you know, after 2010 in Citizens United, the court struck down limits on spending by corporations and unions. This is about contributions by super extra wealthy people who want to challenge what's called the aggregate limits. In other words, they want to give a lot of money to a lot of people, and they say that just constitutes a lot of free speech. And so after Citizens United, if those laws didn't make sense, then these aggregate laws shouldn't make sense. And that would, as I say, be pretty much the end of campaign finance reform as we know it.
The beginning of a big term for the Supreme Court, and perhaps the end of much of Sandra Day O'Connor's legacy. Dahlia Lithwick writes for Slate.com. Dahlia Lithwick, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
This is The Record.